Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and also my co-host, Minister David Clifton. We thank God that we're able to be here on the day for another session of Truth Ministry. And we know there's nothing like the truth. The Bible tells us to buy the truth and sell it not. We gotta have truth. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So it's good for us to be here as we move along in the Word of God that Peter said, which liveth and abideth forever. So we thank God. And that's only because of the Holy Ghost. You can't separate God from His Word. We know that the writer in Hebrews 4 and 12 said the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not made manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And we're talking about the Word of God. So it's good for us to be here on today, another session of Truth Ministry. And my food for thought today is going to be in the first chapter of Romans. And thank God for Apostle Paul. We know that was one of the places that he longed to be able to go to. So it's good that we have the written Word of God and these men whom Jesus had chosen and called apostles. And their job was to lay the foundation and to write the New Testament scriptures. So we thank God for the apostle to the Gentiles, whom we're making mention here of now for my food for thought. And he writes here to the church at Rome, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you, also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We know it's written in the book of Habakkuk, the just shall live by his faith. So this is my food for thought on the day.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. On this evening, my food for thought I would like to share is actually scripture from the book of Acts, which we've been dealing with, Acts chapter 2, verse number 40, when the apostle Peter says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Again, he says, save yourselves. And if I could add on to that or exhort from that thought, it would simply be that it is our responsibility to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. It is our responsibility to know what we believe in. It is our responsibility to know the teachings that we are making the sacrifices for God for. It would be one thing to let whomever it may be, whether it's just your pastor, mother, or father, or your grandparents, to tell you and to raise you a specific way without you getting any understanding of what it is you are believing in. A lot of us make that mistake. We don't research out the teachings that we sit under. And it would be a sad thing that for your entire life you made sacrifices for these beliefs and you never sought them out, and then at the end to find yourself standing in front of God at the great white throne on the wrong side of the fence, if you will. And at that time, you may want to say that, well, God, I didn't know. It wasn't my fault. You know, my pastor told me this, or my mother or my father raised me to be this way. If I could use my imagination, I would maybe say that God will refer you back to what Brother Peter said, and it is to save yourselves. So I can leave you with this here on this thought. I can find my salvation according to the scriptures in the Word of God. I can see and read where brethren did what I did to be saved. My question to you all listeners today is, can you find your salvation in the scriptures? Let's not base your salvation based upon what the preacher told you to do at the end of the sermon, but let's find it in the scriptures. And my friend, if you cannot find anyone that can identify, or anyone that participated in salvation the same way you did, then there's a problem. Amen?
Amen. Amen. So we thank God for that. So there's nothing like the Word of God. And we know Jesus said in St. John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And what he is talking about is the scriptures. So it's not, this doesn't come out of a man's mind. God was wise enough to leave on record what he wanted people to do. And so those that followed him, all you got to do is keep looking at the Word. In the Gospels, they led us to the city of Jerusalem after his resurrection, when he told them to go back to the city of Jerusalem and wait till they be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he blessed them, and he was departed and went up into heaven, and he told them to wait. So that's what they did. They were in an upper room, as we had read in the first chapter of Acts, if you all have been following along with us. So that's why we're taking the time to do this, because it's so important that your soul be saved. And we're not going to just go in anyhow, because it's not somebody asks you, well, I'm this and I'm that. The question is, are you saved?
Amen.
We can fast forward to the 19th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, when Apostle Paul came under certain disciples, and he asked them a question. And that what he asked them was, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So that's what's important. This is not just believe, but we got to, the Bible tells us, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So we got to do what the word of God says. So God left these men on record with his word, and all we got to do is do what they said, and we will be following what God's word said. So we've been going along here. We went through the first and the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And so today we want to start off in the third chapter, but we can go back still a little bit in the second chapter just to bring everybody up. So we know here this message that he's preaching, the first message on the day of Pentecost, 32nd verse. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being on the right hand of God, exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, Peter is preaching in the 37th verse of the second chapter of Acts. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, or the apostles' teaching, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, verse 43, I want to just rewind back there. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. They had authority to do signs and wonders. Just like Jesus says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall take up serpents. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall drink, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. So this is all because of the Holy Ghost that they were able to do these things. And so you can't. Then to be an apostle, like we were saying, and fear came on every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. They were the ones that were sent forth. They were the ones that were handpicked by Jesus. They were the ones that laid the foundation. They adhered to his word and were able to write the New Testament scriptures. And again, I say, there are no apostles nowadays. Their job is done. So we go on here to the third chapter. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So that was about 3 o'clock in the evening, according to our time, because the day started at 6 o'clock in the morning. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked and alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. So this makes us to know that people gave, they must have gave change, whatever they had at times, all of these years, to this man that was laid at the gate of the temple. So apparently this man never went in. So he just went there, and the people, the good point was bought out. People that bought him there, they must have got something out of the deal too, because folks just don't do something for nothing, carrying this man, laying him there daily at the temple. And so Peter gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them, Peter and John. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." So notice whose name that he used. He used the name of Jesus, the Jesus of Nazareth. And Peter here, and he took him by the hand, Peter did, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. They knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though we, though by our own power or holiness, we have made this man to walk?" This is a question. He said, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." And we know who that was, Barabbas. "But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So, at the name of Jesus, like Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippian church, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. So, some people are not bowing and confessing now, but they're going to later on.
That's right.
So, this is the Lord showing his power at his name, what he said that he would do things. And so this is none other. Peter is not taking the glory. And this just goes to show you, this strikes a death lick and that to that man's hand who these people kiss, kissing his ring and falling at his feet. And any man that's falling down at another man's feet, they ought to do the same thing that Peter did. When we fast forward into the 10th chapter of Acts, when Cornelius came to him and fell at Peter's feet, Peter said, "Stand up, I myself also am a man."
Yeah.
And then we see there's a couple of times in the book of Revelation, the 19th chapter, and I believe the 20th or the 21st, when the angel that showed John all these things, he came down to fall at the feet of the angel. He said, "See that you do it not. I'm your fellow brethren." He said, and of the prophets, he said, "Worship God." So no man is going to take the Lord's glory, but it's through the name of Jesus that all these things have been done.
Amen, amen. And what I like about this is where Peter asked him a question. He asked him, "Why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk?" It could have been very easy for these brothers right at this point to make a name for themselves. All these people that came to this temple day in and day out, they knew this lame man. He had been there pretty much for his whole life.
Yeah.
So they saw this brother there all the time, and they knew that he was lame. And after he had this encounter, if you will, with Peter and John, this man was made whole. He was able to finally enter into the temple, and it said that he was leaping and running. So these people saw a miracle done by the hands of Peter and John. What we have nowadays is if we have a lot of these people that are having these healing services, or you see a lot of these televangelists, you know, they like to dress up in all white and they want to blow on you or sprinkle some water on you or throw some oil on you, and they got people coming up to the altar in wheelchairs, or, you know, they testifying they've been having back problems for 30-some-odd years, and then here this man lays his hand on them and they appear to become whole. And then you have people following after these men or these women and their ministries. These men are in error, and so are the people that's following after them. These men need to repent and do as Peter said. He said it's not by our own power.
No.
It's not by our own holiness. But it's by the name that they called on. The thing, and when we read this throughout the scriptures, we have these apostles, and they do mighty, mighty works in the name of Jesus, but they never make a special reputation for themselves. They never started up ministries after their own name. They didn't start any doctrines, if you will, after their own name. So I would admonish, you know, anybody out there listening, healing is still going through the land. Amen. We know that is happening. But I would ask you all to make sure that you are following after the right person. Bible says to follow after me as I follow Christ, if you will. A lot of these men are not giving reverence to God when they're doing these things. Seems like people are flocking to names of men,
yes,
and they're not flocking after the name of Jesus. So that is something that I like. Immediately, Peter and John told him, you looking on us and you marveling after us. It wasn't by us. It was by the name that we called on.
Yes.
And again, as Elder Cannon said, when Cornelius fell at Peter's feet again, he told him, brother, I'm a man just like you.
Yes.
Stand up. So we should, as servants, ministers, that's what we are, as servants, we should never make a reputation for ourselves. Even God himself humbled himself. Can you imagine God walking on the earth but never wanted to boast, if you will? He gave us an example as how we should be walking on the earth. So that is something that I like about this story, and just let us keep that in mind. Even if you are a minister yourself and you are able to preach very well, and maybe you have the gift of healing or the gift of faith, just remember never to exalt yourself too high. We all know what happened to Lucifer when he started looking at himself as being so special. We cannot put ourselves above God. We can't make our name be above God's, because you will pay for that in the end. Amen.
Yes, and that is called pride. And that was a perfect, Lucifer was a perfect example. Lucifer made himself the devil because he was a beautiful archangel. And we know that the Bible said that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So we don't want to have that kind of pride, but we want to believe in the Lord. And then another thing, a miracle is not some statue, some oil coming out of a statue. I don't care if the statue start crying. That's something that man made. That ain't no miracle. We took miracles that the Lord performed was to give glory to God and to meet needs of people, just like he fed the 5,000. God doesn't do some off-the-wall stuff like what these people are saying.
Amen.
But he does it for a reason. So we can see here that this miracle was done, and we go back here. This man was lame from his mother's womb. So then if that be true, I mean, we know he was lame from his mother's womb, but if it be true that you weren't a man like they were back in those days until you were about 30 years old,
right.
He could have been 30 years old when he received his healing. So, nevertheless, the Lord was the one who raised the man up by the name of Jesus. Not the name of Peter, nor the name of Paul, but the name of Jesus. And that's why Peter said, don't look at us, though we've done this. We didn't do it by our own power, but it was at the name of Jesus. And that's the name, that's the salvation name. The angel said, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin.
Amen.
So we do everything. The Bible said in Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do, and word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him. So we know it's in the name of Jesus, not in our name.
Amen. And let me add this about this, brother. We know that this story took place after the crucifixion. We can say and imply that even Jesus, while going in and out of the temple, possibly seen this man. So many people ask, well, if Jesus seen him, that means that Jesus walked by him and didn't heal him. Well, why did he do that? Well, we know that signs and wonders had to follow the believers.
Yes.
So we can say that Jesus left this man, he left work for the apostles to do. This is a sign, healing is a sign that had to follow after those that believe. So that is another reason that we can say that Jesus, even Jesus himself, saw this man and walked by him because as Elder Cannon said in chapter 2, it says this man was lame from his mother's womb. So again, we see that God does what he wants, when he wants, and why he wants. He has a reason for why he does things. And in this particular story, we know that he left this man for his apostles to do this work in his name. But one of the reasons was to solidify and to show that these men were followers of Christ and that his word was being fulfilled.
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah, Minister Clifton, that's a very good point. So we see here, we go back to the 16th chapter of Mark in the 15th verse. This is after the resurrection. And Jesus said, well, we can go back even a little farther, how he appeared unto in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. Verse 12 of chapter 16 of Mark. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. And afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. That's the gospel right there. And he said unto them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's talking about mankind, men and women, boys and girls. He that believeth and eth, got to keep on believing, it is baptized, shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name.
Yes.
What name is that? The name of Jesus, the one who was talking. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Question, somebody might ask. Everybody's not going to be saved, but whoever God chooses to save, to heal, that's what he can do. So even like Jesus, Lazarus died, he could have saved him from dying, but that had to happen so that the Son of God may be glorified. So this is a time. God is a time God. And so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up in heaven and sat on the right hand of God. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So this is nothing but a confirmation. He's confirming his word. So this miracle that he worked. So this just wasn't not for naught. So Peter says, and now, brethren, I would that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. He's talking about what they did to Jesus. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. What are we talking about? The 53rd chapter of Isaiah, how he was bruised for our transgression. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We like sheep were led astray. And so we know Jesus was led from hall, judgment hall to judgment hall, beat all night. All that he done, he did it for us. The Bible said that his vicious was marred more than any of the sons of men. That means he was beat beyond recognition. And he did it for us. So we see here those things which God before has showed by the mouth of his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, that when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, he shall send Jesus which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So he's going, Peter is rewinding here. For Moses said unto the fathers, the prophets shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. I believe that was in the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy.
That is correct.
Either the fifth one of those.
18th chapter.
Yes, of Deuteronomy. So he is that prophet that they still go into that wailing wall weeping for. They didn't believe that he came. Just like Jesus told them, if you had known Moses, you would have known me, because he wrote of me. And that's why he said, they said, you're not even 50 years old in the 8th chapter of St. John. And he and said, Jesus said, Abraham would rejoice to see my day. And he let them know, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. So he didn't speak as a man, he spake as God. So, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquity. And see, when you follow along in the Gospels, especially in the book of Matthew, Matthew wrote to the Jews. And this is when Jesus was saying that he only came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But we know his plan was for all mankind. And he came under, that's why John just got to the point. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's why he said that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not, talking about Jesus. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bare witness and cried, this is who he of whom I spake, which was before me, was preferred before me. He said, for he was before me, and of his fullness shall we receive grace for grace. And he went on to say, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So you got to believe Jesus. And many folk, you might as well just humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, like Peter said, that you may be exalted in due time. So the way up is down. So the way to Jerusalem was always up. But when we come to God, we got to humble ourselves. That's what Jesus said. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. And he went on to say, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So all we got to do is to obey Jesus. And so the only way to obey Jesus is to obey him through his word, to obey him through his manservant that he has sent. And this man that Jesus gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven happens to be Simon Peter, amen, or Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone.
Not the stone,
but a stone.
Yeah. And if I could refer back, as we always say here, the apostles, when they preach messages, remember, the New Testament scriptures didn't exist. So as foretold, Elder Cannon said that Brother Peter made mention of the book of Deuteronomy. That's chapter 18. And if I could just pick up there, Deuteronomy 18 and 18, again, it's a repeat of what Peter said. He says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him.
Yeah.
And this is what I like, verses 20 through 22. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. We have this going on nowadays.
Yes.
Everybody is a prophet or a prophetess, and they prophesy. The first thing they're doing is they're prophesying things that are not of the scriptures.
Right.
They're prophesying businesses and homes, and they're telling you single folk that you're going to get married. They're telling you're going to get all these blessings. All you got to do is come to the $100 line or the $50 line or the $107 line. They're making these lines up. The first thing is, if you don't have no money to come to this line, then you can't receive the prophecy.
Right.
But if you have money, if you got a little bank and you come up there and throw your $100 in a bucket, they're going to prophesy to you. And they're giving you promises. They don't know what your lifestyle is. You can't receive all the blessings of God if you are living in sin. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
The prophets of old came to shame the people and to get them right. They told them, if you don't repent, God is going to destroy you. Okay? The prophets didn't come prophesying to those people about getting homes or being blessed with money and all these things. That's the first thing. But again here, it says that if the thing does not come to pass, they're not of God.
That's right.
And you people that are going to these services and these people are prophesying these things and they don't come to pass, you ought to call that prophet up and ask them why they lied to you. And then you ought to tell them they're not of God because the thing didn't come to pass. What we are doing nowadays is we're getting further and further away from the word and from the truth. We have a lot of people speaking off the top of their head. They're not referencing the scriptures. They're soothsaying. You know, you can call, y'all all remember Miss Cleo, you know, Dionne Warwick, I think she was a spokeswoman for Miss Cleo. You know, you call in and spend your money and they tell you your fortune. That's not according to the scriptures.
No.
The first thing you have to do to receive blessings of God is you have to get your sins washed away. So just make reference to that. In all of these sermons, they're referring back to the Old Testament scriptures, and this particular one was back to Deuteronomy, and we can't say that Peter went on to talk about these prophets, but I would like to bring that out and let you all know. We have many people out there that are prophesying. They're not prophesying, they're prophesying. They're telling you lies. They're speaking things that you want to hear. They're itching your ears. Brother Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he spoke about itching ears. He talked about people leaving the doctrine, and that's something that we're going to touch on here momentarily. But itching ears, when you have an itch, the only way you satisfy it is to scratch it.
Yeah.
So when you go to these services, these people know the type of things that you're going through. They have the ability to draw these things out of you, and then they satisfy your needs by telling you what you want or itching your ears to satisfy that scratch. And then you are happy, but you leave the church in the same state that you came, and that's the thing. The gospel is supposed to change you on the inside and the out. Amen?
Yes, yes. And you can't buy a blessing. And that's a lie right there. That's why the apostles, they preach the word of the Lord. So we can't even take things, like for example, Apostle Paul, the Bible said that God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul.
Mm-hmm.
He did that. That wasn't for us to do now. Folks with handkerchiefs and all of that, that is not of God. And you take this handkerchief, you're going to be blessed. No, you're going to be, and we have started that stuff in the church, telling people, well, you get a house, you get a car. I wonder why they just name out certain things. You ain't got to pray for no house. You ain't got to pray for no car. You ain't got to pray for no food or none of that. If you got the money to go get it, you can get whatever you want if you got the money to get it. So you can't buy a blessing. So that's people just merchandising people. I've seen it where they already take the offering up at a church and they have a special meeting going on. Then after the preacher preaches, he take up another offering. It grieves you. Because they're begging. They're merchandising people. And they're doing it. I saw a man on TV. That's all he was talking about was money. So it ain't just, okay, sow a seed. No. All God requires is the tithe, which is a tenth,
mm-hmm.
and a free will offering, not a $50 line and a $100 line and a $1,000 line and all these pledges and all that. That's not God. That's greedy men doing that. But God came to save our soul.
Amen.
He didn't come for all of that and make people feel bad because everybody don't have. And it, just like he said, little simple truths when he said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. What he's saying is if you already have to give, you're blessed already. Some people don't have money to give. And so it's not for folks to be boasting and bragging about. And we see even the woman that gave the widow's mite. Jesus said they gave of their treasury. This woman cast in all that she had.
Mm-hmm.
He says she gave more than they all because she gave all of her living. So that's another thing. God is looking at the heart,
that's
too.
Right.
So these people are just merchandising people. Peter mentions of that, too, in his record when he writes in the first and second chapter of Peter. So So he knew about the last days and these things that people are doing. But as we move on here, and then another thing, in Christendom, in the real church, the church that started on the day of Pentecost, to be persecuted is a blessing. We're going to go on and see that. So you can talk about Jesus and call him whatever you want. The more you talk about him, the more he's going to be glorified. So you can't hurt us. You're not hurting us. When you talk about him, you crucify him. You crucify us with your words or whatever. You persecute us. You're just glorifying him more. So talk all you want. So we're not worried. We're not going to get offended because you talked about our leader, as some so-called religions do. And as they speak unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved as they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. What a shame. And that's what the people that Jesus had problems with were the religious people. They supposed to knew what the law said. So why are they going to get grieved? And so that's just it. I imagine that they were there and had on those long garments. They looked apart, but they didn't have any power. Even he said they were full of dead men's bones. So he showed them up, just like the disciples were trying to cast out a devil one time out of a little boy. And Jesus says, bring him hither to me. You know, why could we couldn't cast him out? So we got to know that it's we got to pray according, we learn in the New Testament, we have to pray according to the will of God. And you can't reason with a devil. And you always read in the scriptures, Jesus rebuked the devil and caught him out. You can't reason with a devil. You have to cast the devil out. And that's exactly what he done. So these are folks that he's dealing with. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid their hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them, of the men, were about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Right.
You got to be saved by the name of Jesus. When that preacher baptizes you, he got to baptize you in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, not in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. They knew. Matthew 28 and 19, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. There's the operative word right there, teach. Teach them who the Father's name is. Teach them who the Son's name is. Teach them who the Holy Ghost's name is. And the name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. And the name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. He didn't say repeat after me, but he said be baptized in the name. And the name is Jesus Christ. So that's the only name that the blood is applied, the blood that washes away your sins. Like the Bible said in Hebrews 9 and 22, and almost all things are by the law shed with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. So Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So what makes the virtue in the water? It's in the name of Jesus. That's the only way you're going to get your sins remitted or removed or forgiven, in the name of Jesus. is the only one. He's the only one that came and bled and shed his blood, and the only one got up from the dead, and the only one that walked the earth for 40 days, and the only one went back to heaven, and the only one sent back the Holy Ghost. The only grave where the angel said that he's not here, that he's risen as he said. So he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to give his life. Oh, yeah, people, they thought that was what God put in their heart when they said, crucify him, crucify him. Because he came. He said, thus it is written of me to do thy will. He came in the volume of the book. He came to give his life, a ransom for many. He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he said, I have no man take my life, but I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. So it's in the name of Jesus. And so that's where salvation is. And so this is what Peter is letting these people know, that neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. It ain't the name of nobody else but the name of Jesus, where remission of sin is. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And behold, the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. And that's what Apostle Paul said in the 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians. He says, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. And he went on to say that, know ye not that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? And he went on to say, but I trust that we are no reprobates. So it's in the name of Jesus. And they could, like, people are explaining the Bible away instead of saying they don't know. Because if you don't know, you don't know. That's why Jesus came, to give life. Just like John said, that he must increase that I may decrease. So he was saying, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
That's right. And as Elder Cannon said, he said these men, they're explaining away the word. I like in the Gospel of Matthew 15, it's chapter 15, verse number 7 says, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And that's the problem that we have, is these teachings out here, these doctrines, these commandments, it's coming from men and not of God. This baptism formula with the titles, man made that up. This come to the altar, or even sitting in your living room on your lazy boy, raise your hand and you can say a prayer. And the prayer is, depending on what church it is, the prayer changes, but you cannot get saved sitting on your couch through the TV reciting a prayer, the sinner's prayer.
No.
It's not scripture.
That's right.
You will not find anyone in the Bible, I repeat, you will not find one person in the Bible that follow any format of a sinner's prayer. It's not doctrine.
That's right.
You will not find any apostles baptizing anyone in the titles. It's not the doctrine of Christ. And that's what we need to understand. You have people out here carrying the title of Christians, they're saying that they're Christians, and a lot of us don't even understand what we're saying. We don't even know that the title Christian, it didn't exist until they were called Christians. The Bible says,
first
in Antioch. I do believe that's in the 11th chapter of Acts. Before they were called Christians, they were simply known as disciples of Christ. There was a lot of disciples in the land at that time, and there's a lot of disciples in the land at this time. A disciple is simply someone, a student, or a follower of a particular teaching. So when they were disciples of Christ, that means that they sat up under the teaching of Jesus, and they walked in or followed the teaching of Jesus. So the apostles' doctrine is the doctrine of Christ, because he's the one that gave it to them. They say, well, men wrote the Bible. Well, I understand that, but they wrote it as they were inspired by the Holy Ghost. If you remember in the Old Testament with Moses, the first tablets that had the Ten Commandments, Bible says that God wrote it with his own finger.
Yeah.
Now, we know that Moses got upset and he broke those tablets. And God made Moses write those tablets again.
Yeah.
Well, how did Moses know what to write? God told him what to write.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to follow those commandments. We have the same thing with the New Testament scriptures. Although men wrote it, they wrote it as they were inspired by God. That is the doctrine. The 6th chapter of Hebrews talks about the principles of the doctrine. It says that we are supposed to leave the principles to go on to perfection. Well, the problem is some of us ain't even got the principles, and we're trying to go on. You got to have the foundation. The foundation, one of those foundations is the baptism. Well, I guess while I'm mentioning it, I better turn there. Hebrews chapter number 6. I don't want to be talking off the top of my head. I want to let the word speak for me. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we do if God permit. This is milk, these principles. These are things that we have to have. A lot of people, they're telling you to get saved, but they're not telling you to repent from your dead works. You don't have to have faith towards God, because if you believe in him, you have to do what he says. If you want to follow him, if you want to call yourself a Christian, you have to follow the teachings of Christ. And then the doctrine, single, not plural, but the doctrine of baptisms. We know that Ephesians says that there is one baptism, and there is.
Yeah.
But within that one baptism, we have the baptism in water and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of people, we don't see it that much in this day, but once someone baptized in Jesus' name, a lot of times I hear stories, they come out of the water speaking in tongues. God will fill them with the Holy Ghost while they're in the water. But it's considered one baptism. You have to have, these are the foundations of Christianity. So we have people trying to go on and they're teaching all these other things. And they're not saved. They're not saved according to the scriptures. It's not me saying it. It's not Elder Cannon saying it. It's the Bible. You have to have your sins washed away. You have to have the Spirit of Christ. The Bible says if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, I do believe Romans chapter 8, that you are none of his.
Right.
So how can you call yourself a child of God if you don't have his Spirit abiding in you? How can you call yourself a child of God if you have not had your sins washed away? We are following, well, I shouldn't say we because I'm not doing it, but people are following after teachings of men and not after the teachings of Christ, and that is the problem. You need to search it out. You need to see who started your religion. You need to see who came up with these rules and regulations that you're living by. If you can't find it in the Bible, you need to throw it out and find something else. Amen?
Yes, yes, because you got to save yourself, like Peter said. I'm going back here in Matthew, the 7th chapter. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. These are questions that he says they're going to say to him. And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him as a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And he goes on, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And what great was the fall of that, of it. And then also we know Luke said that he made mention of the ladder. He said, and without a foundation they built the house. Because it's built upon the sand, it is without a foundation. So you got to do what the Word of God says. And our time is swiftly getting away. And we'd like for you to know, you can call in 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. We know we only have about 5 minutes left. So we are letting you know here, beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And I say to you, that was out of hell. Because the devil don't want you to preach the name of Jesus.
Right.
He don't want you to get baptized in the name of Jesus because he know that you're still blind. And he know you're going to end up in a hell hole because salvation is in the name of Jesus. This is why Jesus done that. He didn't do all of this. He didn't go to the cross and give his life and get up from the dead and send back the Holy Ghost and give his word all in vain. But we got to do what he says do. And that's what I just read in the 7th chapter of Matthew. He said, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them.
Yes.
So we got to do what he says. So, and they went right here. They spread no further. The people let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. They called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds just like the devil. Don't speak or teach no more in the name of Jesus. That's where the salvation is in the name of Jesus. That's why blind Bartimaeus, when he heard that Jesus was passing by, they tried to shut him up, but he cried the more.
Yes. Because
he couldn't see, but he knew. Then that's why the Bible said that the righteous cry and the Lord heareth them, and he saveth them out of all their troubles. So we got to cry out to God. So God knows about your heart. So that's why God sends people to tell you what to do.
That's right. Because
there's a cry in your heart. And we, wine, women, and song is not going to satisfy it. But the only one can satisfy that longing in your heart is the Lord himself. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, of whom this miracle of healing was showed.
That's right.
Yes. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. When they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that is in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? I believe that's the second song. Kings of the earth stood up, and rulers against were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, hast thou anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. When they had prayed, the place was shaken, they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. We're going to stop right there. And verse 31, so they didn't get a refilling of the Holy Ghost, but they got strengthened. They got, like Isaiah said, they got refreshed in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
He said, with stammering lips and another tongue, we speak to this people, saying, this is the rest and this is the refreshing. So that's what they, when they had prayed that prayer. We're going to pick up there in verse 31 of Acts 4 on next week. We trust that this has been a blessing unto you. This word has been a blessing unto you on the day as we get ready to go. And we want to thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. And you can email us at truthministry 5525 at att.net. That is truthministry 5525 at att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Well, God bless you. We'll see you on next time.